So your book, Follow My Lead, it's kind of a guidebook and shows us how to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice and to trust His leading when sharing our faith with other people. How did you come to be able to articulate this so that others could learn from your wisdom there?
Yeah, I think I started to realize the understanding of the different roles that the Trinity has in evangelism and how the Holy Spirit, theologically, is the one that pursues the non-believer, the one that opens up their eyes to see the truth of who Jesus is and the gospel. And think about it, the Holy Spirit actually knows that person, their fears, their insecurities, their sins, way better than I do. So the Holy Spirit is the one that can tell us what exactly we need to say to connect Jesus to that person. He's been pursuing that person, revealing Jesus to that person. And so if we ask Him to give us that wisdom or the words or the questions, He's going to do that because He wants Jesus to be glorified.
And this isn't just a theory. You've played this out in many different scenarios in your life and seen it come to fruition where you're praying for the Holy Spirit to give you words and then having that happen. Can you share one of those stories with us?
Yeah, completely. I'll share one really recently. Last year, I was putting on a Christmas party for our neighborhood, and I did not know all of my neighbors, so I sent them each a card with cookies. And one neighbor I never had met, and she called me and said, "I'm sorry, I cannot come to your party because I am going through chemotherapy. I can't be around a lot of people." Clearly, she had cancer. And my heart broke for her on the phone. I'd never met her, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, "Pray for her." And so I asked permission. I said, "Carolina, may I please pray for you right now?" And she said, "Sure." I had no clue her spiritual background, so I just said, "Before I pray, may I ask you kind of what's your spiritual background?" And she said, "I was raised Catholic, but I don't really have a faith right now." So I just prayed confidently, as you know, because I believe God is real, and it ministered to her. And we started to have a relationship on text because I have a 2- and 3-year-old. I don't get out of the house tons. She's sick, in and out of the house. I'm getting help. And so then in February, again, I've been praying for her, and the Holy Spirit said, "Give her verses about God's love." And so I looked up all the verses on God's love. I put them on each on a little heart, and I gave her a Valentine gift with all these verses. And she said, "Holly, this is what's keeping me motivated, is these verses about God's love." But I still did not yet get a chance to share the gospel. I did not know she really knew Jesus. And so 6 months, you know, 6 months went by, and in June, I was going to leave for the summer. And the Holy Spirit was like, "You cannot leave unless you try to share with her." So as a mom of two, I mean, I had to really prepare, right? I had to have my husband watch the kids. I had to set up a time with her. It wasn't one of those just naturally flowing situations. But when I sat down with her, I just said, "Carolina, I have really enjoyed getting to know you through texts and phone calls, even though you're my neighbor 2 doors down. And I said, "But you know what? Both of us don't know if tomorrow we'll still be here. We don't know if I'll get hit by a car. We don't know. It doesn't matter that you have cancer or not. We want to know what's going to happen in eternity." And I asked permission if I could share with her a booklet that explains how to know God personally. And she said, "Yes, I would love to know." And at the end of sharing with her the gospel, she said, "This is exactly what I need. Thank you so much for risking and sharing with me." And I just thought, man, it all started with a phone call and me willing to pray for a stranger. And even though I don't have time to see her a lot, to keep trusting when the Holy Spirit gives me an idea to do it and to push through that, and then to see how in that obedience and step of faith, how God might see a person's life changed.
Mm. And now you're with 85 young people, college students, who are also have that passion to connect. How do you start teaching them the importance of sharing their faith with other people?
Yes. Well, it starts with surrender. So our blanketing theme for the summer is, do we have a heart of surrender? Does our heart say, "Lord Jesus, in the power of your Holy Spirit, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will say what you want me to say, and I will give what you want me to give." If our hearts aren't surrendered, we will never take the steps of faith. We will never love somebody enough to do, to share Jesus with others. And so we start with that foundation of surrender. And then we talk about a heart for the lost and the reality. We say Jesus is our best friend. But are we willing to risk and love someone enough to share with them respectfully who Jesus is? And to realize we're not just sharing, we are not sharing a religion. We are sharing about a person, and we want them to get to know a person. And so it kind of changes our mind and our view of what we are doing. We're not out there proselytizing, right? We're out there wanting to share with them a real individual that is in our life and has changed our life. So I'm changing their mind view at first before we actually give them the tools of how to share their faith.
Well, and there's a difference, isn't there, from being the person who is, like you said, giving some sort of a lecture or a sermon, and the person who's having a conversation about really who this Jesus is.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's a dialogue. Like, one thing we ask people is, you know, what is your view of who Jesus is? What is your understanding of who he said he was? That's really important, because we can't just go in and say, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? Do you know Jesus died for you? Because people nowadays have different views of who they think Jesus is. So even though we're using the same name, they might be interpreting him to be a completely different type of person than we understand him to be, right? They're going to say, oh, he's homophobic. Oh, he doesn't value women. Oh, they might have preconceived ideas. And so we want to first be learners of who they think Jesus is. And then another great question you can ask somebody is, why do you think so many people want to follow Jesus today? What do you think it is about Jesus that people want to follow him today? You know, and so you're still dialoguing with them for them to try to think about who Jesus is before we try to tell them who we understand Jesus to be.